Welcome to the Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Michael Mandel. Michael is professor of law at Osgoode Hall Law School, York University in Toronto, up in Canada. He teaches international criminal law, constitutional law, and legal politics. Michael wrote a book that we talked about together. It was a good long while ago, but an extraordinary book if listeners can find a copy. And I love the title. The title is How America Gets Away with Murder, Illegal Wars, Collateral Damage, and Crimes Against Humanity. And, Michael, you could write a sequel and just substitute Israel for America.
I guess I could, Stephen, but you're doing a fine job of writing about this conflict.
I have literally written since it began on November 14th, two articles every day, and I've already written another one for tomorrow, and before the day is out, I hope to write article number two. I mean, this is big stuff, Michael.
Well, yeah, it's kind of outrageous, and it's such a blatant violation of international law and international human rights, something that, the propaganda machine of the Western press presents as the opposite of what it is. And very interestingly, we treat it as Israel versus the Palestinians, but, Israel in this case is bankrolled entirely by the United States and basically is doing what I believe is the United States bidding. And now, we have the election of President Obama for a second term. He has no excuses for being a hypocrite and a warmonger and supporting this terrible, now at least 45-year-old, treatment of indigenous people by an agent of imperialism. So it's just disgraceful there. You're at a loss for words to describe it.
Well, I absolutely agree with all of that, and there are so many strands to this. It's astonishing. Let me raise one point right off the bat, Michael. In less than 24 hours from the so-called truce, Israel shot and wounded four Palestinians in Gaza. Supposedly, the terms of this so-called memorandum of understanding, the document that set up the ceasefire, well, I quoted from it. I could have in one of my articles included what it said verbatim. The language seemed a little bit on the foggy side, and some of it just needed to be explained, not repeated verbatim. So I did that. I explained the terms. It was a very brief document. It just seems so inconclusive to me, so full of holes, so insulting and meaningless. And it showed in what Israel did right away, Michael, less than 24 hours, four Gazan youths, young men, either late teens, early 20s, they got too close to Israel's border. I believe, the document I read didn't state this explicitly, but I think the understanding was that Israel's so-called no-go zone, so many hundreds of meters inside Gaza, that Israel wants Palestinians not to have access to, including farmers in their fields and so on. Well, I believe that was supposed to have been eliminated. Well, there were youths that came, and they were carrying Palestinian flags, and Israeli border soldiers shot four of them and wounded them. And then today, soldiers shot and killed either one or two Palestinians, and they wounded 19 more. Yesterday, the Israeli military said the four that were wounded were rioting. They were there with some others, I think. They were rioting. They were doing nothing of the sort. The ones that came today, Friday morning, their time, so many hours ago, they came to pray. They came to pray. They were nonviolent, and yet 19 were wounded, and one or two were killed. So much for the truce, Michael.
Well, the truce, it was a very vague document, and it was supposed to be discussed 24 hours after the truce. There's nothing about changing the status quo. But it really indicates, I think, that these examples of what Israel considers normal behavior in the Gaza Strip indicates how the right of self-defense was really on the part of the Gazans and not on the Israelis. I mean, it's ludicrous that Israel has had a siege and blockade on Gaza for 5 years, which it enforces not only on its own side of the border, this particular border, but on the Gaza side of the border. It actually enforces a 300-meter, three football field long, no-go zone in Gaza. And these people violated that. That's why they were killed. The other ones that were arrested, there were also arrests not only in Gaza, but in the West Bank, the occupied territories of the West Bank, who were going to protest. This is Palestinian territories taken in 1967, illegally held, decided definitively by the World Court about 8 years ago now. And they arrested them because they were afraid that they might do something. They were protesting against the treatment of Gaza, because Gaza is not another country. They're all Palestinians there. The separation is one that's enforced, totally fraudulent separation that's enforced by Israel against the Palestinians. Gaza, the Hamas government, didn't win the government of Gaza. They won the government of the whole occupied territories. They're just not allowed by Israel to govern in the West Bank because their lawmakers were arrested. So, I think the arrest of the people in the West Bank, the occupied territories, and the killing of people in Gaza shows exactly what this operation was about and the ludicrous nature of the claims of self-defense of Israel. Israel is the aggressor. It's been the aggressor for 45 years. An aggressor has no right to self-defense to its aggression. And this was established at Nuremberg. It was also established that aggression is the supreme international crime. And Israel's been doing that for 45 years against, by now, about 4 million Palestinians, denying them every right to self-determination, every human right, killing them, blockading them, starving them. And it's been, the Palestinians have been vindicated by every institution of international law there is. The most important one was the World Court in 2004, and Israel was desperate to prevent the World Court from deciding this. And the United States, it was the Bush administration, but the Obama administration is no different, obviously no different. It's disgraceful for all the hope that Obama has raised that he would be a different kind of president, that he's acting like this, that he's abandoning these people. They say Assad has to go, but the occupation, which has lasted 45 years, doesn't have to go. In any event, the World Court decided in 2004 on the case of the wall that every settlement in occupied territories, first of all, that Israel was an occupier, and that every settlement in occupied territories was a war crime against the Geneva Conventions, which Israel signed. This was a unanimous holding by the International Court of Justice, including the American judge, Thomas Bergenthal, who happened to be a survivor of the Holocaust in the concentration camps. Two Jews on the court all voted that these settlements were illegal, and Israel had no right to defend them militarily. And so this has been established universally. And the fact that President Obama and the American administration, leave alone the racists in Israel, the warmongers, the criminals like Netanyahu, liars. The last time he was elected, his wife stole the silverware from the president's residence. Leave alone them. They couldn't do anything without the Americans. And the fact that President Obama had threatened the Palestinians for the terrorist act of trying to get recognition by the General Assembly with punishment just shows what's going on here. So, we can't protest loudly enough, but unfortunately, the American media, the Israeli media, the Western media portrays only one side. And they're aiding and abetting the American administration, which is underwriting and abetting this. And, the thing about this is that it's not about Israel and the Palestinians. It's about American control of the Middle East. And the big target now is Iran. And this operation, which killed 160 Palestinians and 40 children, was not even about the Gaza Strip. It was about Iran. They're trying to degrade the capabilities of Iran's allies in the region, such as Hamas and such as Hezbollah in Lebanon, because they want to attack Iran. And they don't want to attack Iran because they fear Iran. What they want to attack Iran for is they fear that if Iran acquires nuclear weapons or defensive capability, Israel and America will no longer dominate the Middle East. And that's what it's about. That's why these people are dying. And you can't protest it loudly or strongly enough.
Michael, that's exactly the core issue. The idea is to isolate Iran, eliminate its allies. The war in Syria, a Western-generated war, so far a proxy war, but I greatly fear, and I've said it in a number of articles, that I fear at some point they will be full-scale Western intervention. You know, if everything they're doing now fails, they will go for broke, and they will try to do basically what they did in Libya. Libya was all these countries are independent. Libya not so much attached to Iran, but an independent country, and all independent regimes are supposed to be removed and replaced with pro-Western puppet ones, like the Karzai government in Afghanistan. Karzai, a former CIA asset, probably still is, and a former affiliated with one of the big oil companies. I think it was Union Oil. And he all he is the mayor of Kabul. And I'm not even certain he's that. Without a phalanx of guys, he wouldn't last 2 minutes out in the street. I mean, he would be assassinated that fast.
Well, Afghanistan, that aggression was killed, you know, in its initial stage of about 60,000 people in its first few months. Also a war of aggression, not authorized by the Security Council, no self-defense claim. That was a pretext war. I mean, you know, Colin Powell didn't even want to, it wasn't Colin, it was Rumsfeld, didn't even want to go after it because what they were interested in was Iraq, but what they were interested in after Iraq was Iran. The idea was real men, these thugs, Rumsfeld and Cheney and Bush, real men go to Tehran, they said. And, you know, Wesley Clark, General Clark, was shown a hit list after 9/11, and it wasn't Afghanistan. It had Libya on it. It had Syria on it. It had Iraq and Iran on it.
Oh, indeed.
And so this is, the pretext, the use of violence and the use of victims of violence to promote more violence. And what really, you know, what I greatly feared when, you know, everybody rooted for Obama in the election of 2008, just first black president, the opposition was so disgraceful. What you really hoped for, what we really feared, I should say, with Obama, was that American policy would remain the same. He would put a good face on it. And that's what's happened. And now, after the second election, there's absolutely no doubt about it. He's as big a war criminal as George W. Bush.
Well, I have said that he exceeded the worst of George Bush. I mean, he continued all he
pushed
many
wars, people yet.
And he waged his own, and he plans more. And again, this Operation Pillar of Cloud, the attack on Gaza, that's merely a skirmish toward a greater agenda, as you pointed out, Michael. And the idea is get rid of these independent regimes, isolate Iran, and then go after Iran in whatever way is planned. And when Israel and America partner in all of these regional adventures, they do it either directly or they do it indirectly. Washington is very much a partner in Israel's war on Gaza the last 8 days and what's going on now. And whatever
it was quite astounding, Hillary Clinton and Obama applauding Israel's right to self-defense that they know is ludicrous and bogus. I mean, just lying through their teeth. And then saying they hope Israel doesn't have a ground invasion. And Israel is saying, hold me back, because it never intended in the first place. I mean, the obscene thing is the insult to the intelligence, of everybody that we would actually buy that and to try to sell it to us. These, you know, people like, people who know far better. So it's the contempt that Obama and Clinton hold their own people in. That is, I mean, that's one thing. Obviously, the dead babies in Gaza is worse, but that aspect of the phony justification and the sycophantic media that repeats every lie they tell. I mean, I'm very sorry for this. I'm sorry for the black people in the United States who looked to the first black president for something different, and all it was his skin color and nothing else.
That's it. That's all he got. They really were betrayed from day one. Obama has done nothing for his own people, done nothing for ordinary people. He's been a warmonger. He's enforced neoliberal harshness at home, repressive police state laws. It's been one abomination after another. And now he's a lame duck. He doesn't have to worry about being reelected. So he's free to do anything he wants with impunity. And I agree. The idea with I agree with you, Michael. The idea was to put a friendly face on an aggressive policy that does so much harm to so many people. I honestly believed all along that Obama would be reelected. I got a little concerned at the end because I like to check where the money is coming from. And the Center for Responsive Politics lists the big contributions. And in 2008, Wall Street, the money power that basically runs America, Wall Street put its chips mainly on Obama. And this time they put their chips mainly on Romney. And I said, oh, my God, they want Romney over Obama? I said, if he's elected, within a year he'll be hated like George Bush. But Obama is a con man. After all the harm he's done for 4 years, he still has half the country believing in him. I mean, why give up a good thing?
What Hillary Clinton said about him in the primaries was true. He gives a good speech, and that's all there is.
That's all there is to it.
I hate to see her vindicated, but she was.
Well, that's the reason he was picked. He was singled out well in advance. I think he was singled out as a comer when he was back in school, probably in law school. I would guess in law school, he was singled out, and I guess they watched him and groomed him, and they thought this guy is a comer. And I mean, he made it from beginning in politics to the White House. I think in record time. Well, I mean, some got there without any time of politics. Eisenhower was never elected anything. Of course, he was a famous general, and maybe some other famous people from other walks in life. But Obama was a nobody. He was a nobody in Illinois, and then he became senator, and then bingo, he becomes president. Well, you know, he was a great front man, a great con man, and they got what they paid for. And I just greatly fear what's coming in the next 4 years, Michael. As bad as it's been in the last four, I think the next four could end up being a lot worse. And my greatest fear is whether I can't believe it would be planned, but you never know, but maybe an accidental global war. That's what I really fear.
Mm. Well, I think enough to fear. I mean, you're imagining way beyond what I want to even dream of. But I think the attack on Iran, they're sweeping out mines in the Straits of Hormuz now. The American fleet is there, and the nerve of Iran to get the nuclear weapons that Israel and the United States already have. And the chutzpah that they could actually do that, and the fact that we actually, you know, you read in the New York Times in the editorials, we all agree that Iran shouldn't get a nuclear weapon, and the question is how to do it. Is diplomacy enough, or is war enough? And only, you know, in some online comments, what right does America have with its arsenal of nuclear weapons aimed at the whole world? And Israel, with its arsenal of nuclear weapons aimed at the whole Middle East, have the right to deny Iran? I mean, have people gone crazy?
Well, Michael, I've
written
a number of times.
Have people gone crazy to accept, to swallow that? Are we also stupid?
Michael, I've explained in articles, and we've discussed it on here in past programs, that U.S. intelligence every year does a world assessment, and when it comes to Iran, year after year, the latest assessment was in March this year after year it says, there is no evidence that shows Iran has a nuclear program. There's nothing that says it's under development. It also says we don't know that they don't have one, but we can't find any intelligence that says it does. And Iran has to be the most surveilled country in the world. I mean, on the ground, spies from space, satellites, all kinds of ways of spying on Iran.
Assassins, killing scientists.
Killing scientists, that's right. Just to stop its regular
just
nuclear program.
Them in their homes. Like, can you believe this?
Oh, a number
and
of
Iran
them have been killed.
Iran is supposed to be a terrorist state?
Well,
a terrorist is somebody who deliberately kills civilians. Nobody comes close to the United States in doing that.
Oh,
nobody.
And of course, Israel, Mossad, and CIA.
Oh, Israel's a partner. Is a partner.
They are notorious for doing these kinds of things. They have assassinated so many people.
They do nothing without the green light from the United States. I think the Israel lobby is a hoax, that this is the America's interest, that Israel is serving, always has served America's interest in the Middle East. I don't think that anybody is in thrall to Israel and the United States. I think that the United States, Israel does nothing without the American consent. It's all a charade.
Well, I think Israel very definitely is the junior partner in this relationship. Washington has the purse strings. It hands over to Israel at least $3 billion a year, mostly in military aid. But I think there's a lot that goes there under the table. Israel gets weapons, technology.
Well, for sure. But, you know, the last election, you think that if the Israel lobby was the Israel lobby was plunking for Romney. I mean, Adelson gave him $100 million. Like, it's
true.
You know, I know the Israel lobby has lots of money, but it can do nothing that isn't in the Americans' interest. And whatever is being done in the Middle East now against Gaza, against the Palestinians, against Syria, against Lebanon is all done because America wants it done.
Well, there's no question about that. And when there are disagreements between Israel and America, it's generally over timing, possibly tactics. You know, Netanyahu was raging about wanting to attack Iran, and what he really wanted was for Washington to take the lead, and then Israel would ride shotgun to its program. Israel alone does not.
It's the joke, you know, hold me back, they say in Israel all the time. You know, please hold me back so I don't kill this guy. And it's just the phony claims. But in any event, the fact that it's extremely disappointing, and I guess it's just a testament to the power of the mass media and the paucity of independent voices like your progressive radio station. It's the power of money. You know, Marx said it. The ruling ideas of any age are the ideas of the ruling class. And the people with the money, they produce the ideas as well as everything else. And the fact that we can interpret black is white, night is day, right is wrong, and wrong is right. It's just a testament to their power, and
they have plenty of power, and they have the megaphone of the major media, and that includes the BBC and the CBC and public radio and public television in America.
When I say America, we have a junior partner government that tried to feign, even during the Iraq War, you know, Jean Chrétien tried to feign independence from America. In the back, we were saying we're going down to run something. What can we do for you? Our people don't want us to participate officially in Iraq. What can we do for you? And he said, well, go to Afghanistan and free us up for Iraq. And that's what they did. So our government, liberal, conservative, has been in bed with the back pocket of the American government for the longest time.
Oh, it really has. And of course, the Harper government probably is it unfair to say the Harper government is the worst?
You know, in tone, it's the worst, but in practice, there is really very little difference, you know, between the liberals and the conservatives when they're in power. And the example was that the liberal government was participating fully as the Americans, well, as we could. The enemy of the liberal government during the Iraq War was not their principles, it was their people. We wouldn't let them go into the Iraq War. We wouldn't let them go into it. But they went behind our backs and tried to help America all they could. And, you know, austerity programs, it's the same as you have. The Democrats and Republicans with austerity and tax cuts to the rich and cutting programs to poor people and people who have been thrown out of work by globalization is exactly the same. It's hard to distinguish. The tone is different. You know, when they're in government, Harper says, does everything that tries to engrave itself with the Jewish voters by being holier than the chief rabbi of Jerusalem when it comes to doing whatever the Israeli government wants to do. Remember, there's a lot of opposition in Israel. There's 20% of the population are Palestinians, and there's a peace movement which unfortunately has been decimated but still exists, of people who hate what the Israeli government, of Jews and Arabs who are citizens of Israel who hate what the Israeli government is doing.
Well, there's no question about that. And I think in the long run, Michael, the policies that America and Israel both follow eventually will be self-defeating for them. You just can't keep doing this.
Alibi.
I mean, over and over again.
It should only be so.
It should only be soon, absolutely. Chalmers Johnson, while he was alive, wrote about this. I mean, this stuff can go on longer than any of us wanted to, but at some point you reach the dead end and you overspend on militarism, you make too many enemies, your arguments about why you do it just begin falling on deaf ears. And even the CIA, there was something I quoted several years ago, that the CIA assessed that if Israel continued its current policies, within a couple of decades, the Israel that exists today no longer would. Now, exactly what they meant by that, I'm not sure. But I think it basically means over time you shoot yourself in the foot, and the same holds true for America. Every empire in history has eventually destroyed itself by overreaching.
Unfortunately, in the long run, as Keynes said,
we're
all dead. And that's why that Palestinian kid planted the flag there, even when they fired warning shots. You know, they fired warning shots before he planted the flag, before they killed him. And he did it because he can't wait forever. You have to live your life now and or die, die on your feet or live on your knees now. That's what that kid did, a brave kid. How many more decades are people supposed to wait?
Well, they shouldn't have to wait at all. The occupation is illegal. And earlier in the program, you mentioned what happened to the West Bank right away. 2 days ago, I believe it was, 55 Palestinians were rounded up. People that may be leaders or whatever that Israel thinks might get out truth that Israel wants suppressed. And then I believe overnight, or maybe it was early today, a dozen or more were arrested. This is going to go on. I don't know what's going to happen.
But it's all about the West Bank, and there's an excellent Israeli journalist by the name of Uri Avneri, who really should be read by everybody, and his website is Gush Shalom. And today he was saying that one of the goals of this, since the goal of Gaza is the only resistance to the occupation of the whole Palestinian territory starting in 1987, that's why they brought back Arafat, that's why they brought back the PLO, to counter a real resistance, somebody they could control. Abbas is a guy they can control. And the fact is that a lot of this was also about marginalizing, destroying Abbas, humiliating him. And Israel is very happy to degrade Hamas's capabilities, but it doesn't want Hamas gone. What it really wants is the Palestinian people split, and it wants a puppet like Abbas in their back pocket, totally weakened, humiliated, delegitimated, because it's all about occupation of the Palestinian territory from Israel's point of view. Now, from America's point of view, Israel has another job to do for it. But in fact, it's very important. The result of this operation, according to Avneri, was to further destroy Abbas, to destroy the PLO, and pretend that Hamas is only a Gazan thing. You've got a million and a half people cooped up. By the way, Egypt has a border with Gaza, and Morsi is also a whore, because that border could be opened and Gaza could be freed. And Morsi's playing exactly the role that Mubarak played, because they could end the siege immediately, but they don't do it because they get as much money from America as Israel does.
Indeed, they do. They get between $1 and $2 billion a year. That buys a lot of pro-Western policies, pro-Israeli policies. The first thing a legitimate president of Egypt should have done was open that border and provide aid. And instead of bombing title.
It's a huge border, Israel blockades the sea, shoots fishermen, destroys the fishing industry. It obviously maintains its fence and shoots people who come close to it. But there's a huge, I think it must be about a 7 to 10 kilometer border between Egypt and Gaza, and Egypt faithfully keeps that closed for Israel and the United States.
Oh, indeed, and Morsi is having his own trouble there. There are big demonstrations against them in Cairo today. Those are other issues.
That's what's happening with Egypt.
Oh, indeed. So I think the bottom line for me on what's going on and supposedly what just concluded is nothing just concluded in Gaza. The war against Gaza continues. The war against Palestine continues. One of my two articles for tomorrow is called Israel's War on Palestine. Indeed, so it's been going on since before 1948, especially since the occupation began in June 1967. It goes on today as we speak, and there is no sign whatever that it's going to end. If anything, it's probably going to get worse, and that's the reality of what Palestinians have to live in. They are deeply repressed. They deserve a lot better.
Around the world. I mean, people are demonstrating at synagogues and throwing firecrackers into synagogues, and the notion that this is fighting anti-Semitism as opposed to causing it is also ludicrous. I mean, everything is
indeed.
The opposite of what's said. And the funny thing is that it should be laughed off the front pages. But we don't have an independent press. We have a press that's independent of the government, but not independent of the of Wall Street, as you say, or we say Bay Street.
Oh, I wish we had more time, Michael.
I do too. Stephen, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and read your stuff, and great work to you and all your listeners on the Progressive Radio.
Michael, I hope you'll come back.
I will.
Oh, I will invite you, I promise.
Just ask.
I promise.
Bye.
Thank you so much. And we will be on tomorrow. I taped the program for tomorrow. Weekends, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Make it a regular habit.